We're on. Is everybody ready? Okay. Now call a meeting of the Ethics Board of Thursday, May 18th to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Anna Walker?
Here.
Deb Materia? Patricia Hands?
Here.
Joanne Barnes?
Here.
Barbara Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Ellis and Ms. Dryland are excused.
Okay. First on the agenda, first we need a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting of April 20th.
So approve.
Second.
And there's been a motion by Ms. Barton and a second by Ms. Hands. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting stand approved as submitted. The board may convene into closed session to hear disciplinary matters and related information pursuant to section 19.85, paren 1, paren B, and or paren F, Wisconsin statutes, and to consider and render confidential advice pursuant to section 19.85, paren 1, paren H, Wisconsin statutes. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we will now go into closed session. The motion, go back into open session.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We now reconvene into open session as authorized by section 19.85, paren 2, Wisconsin statutes. Do I discuss at all what we, I can't remember what we discussed.
Well, you said that on, while you're off the record, we had a further review of so-and-so's.
Okay.
We reached a decision concerning that.
Okay.
I have slid that thing that's in closed section, so I'll go one slide
okay.
back.
What Ed said.
Takes an expert.
Yes. In closed session, we reviewed the item presented for confidential advisory opinion last month. Upon further review, we have made a decision pursuant to that. Very well. Okay. Update on filing of annual statement of economic interest.
I continue to receive not very many, because at this point, effective as of March 27, I send out those letters by mail, letting them know that they were not in compliance. The individuals,
did I miss something?
City employees that are still not
no, we haven't
filed.
Number two on our agenda.
I know, we'll go back.
Okay.
I apologize.
Sorry.
Forgot my glasses. So, it's okay. You can just smack me a little bit. Keep me in line here.
Shakedown cruise here.
That's right.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Okay, so there are the annual statement of economics, which you might repeat again. That is also on the way.
I haven't received many.
Yeah.
Okay. At this time, if it's appropriate, I would like to go back regarding a request of waiver for a fee for a Stephanie Bloomingdale, if there's no objection, from last month in the decision.
No issue? Oh, no objection.
Thank
oh,
you.
Are you? Oh, you're asking me because I was the movement.
Yes,
okay.
You're the
sorry.
Mover of the
we
motion.
Talked about this before we went
yes.
on record. I forgot.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. To revisit the request for waiver for Stephanie Bloomingdale, the one that I asked if it's possible it would become under the Statement of Economic Interest forms, I believe. That would be an appropriate place.
Yes, it could.
Huh?
It could.
It could. Okay, well, it is. I bring it up because, not because she is a leader in the labor movement, but I think there are extraordinary circumstances that were presented, that we have not, that no other filer or requester of a waiver has presented. And in all honesty, I presented the same information because I had not filed mine. But as a member of the Ethics Commission, I feel that I need to be held to a higher standard. And so, in all honesty, I did submit one, but it was in jest because I thought you guys might find it rather humorous, considering my stance on waivers. Having said that, these were extraordinary times. This was not a normal legislative session. This was not a question of being on vacation. This was not a question of my people, because she has no people, but truly extraordinary, unique, not before experienced circumstances that have been dealt with in the state in decades. I mean, so I do think, given the fact that some of the stuff that was happened and the duties as Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin State AFL, the largest and the AFL body, the overseeing body in the state of Wisconsin, that there should be some consideration for waiver of the fee. Their time was in Madison. There was a lot of, you know, things that were going on, became national headlines, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure that you're all very much aware. I mean, and I would like to request that her request for waiver be revisited only based upon the extraordinary circumstances of which the request came. Had this been any other time, normal, I'm late, I'm this, a normal legislative session, a normal, you know, workings that she would do under normal circumstances, I would not approve it. But I do think that there were some real extraordinary circumstances in this particular one. And so that I ask the committee to rethink and revisit that waiver. And I just turned in my
$125
check.
Okay.
Let me just say this. I think we need to be very careful here because, Annie, in essence, you're advocating, and that's fine, and I don't know if that's what you want to do, but we have to make decisions based upon factual record. The facts come in to us in various manners, but I don't think the facts should come before the board by the chair setting forth that the individual was so burdened with labor issues that the individual was unable to comply. That may, in fact, be factual and correct.
Okay.
But I think we'd be better served, and I think we would make a better record if that individual were to write, perhaps, to the board, so we can table this for the next meeting, write to the board and say, I'm sorry I didn't file, and here's the reason why, because I have to go to Madison, I had to go to whatever the...
Okay.
Whatever it is.
I certainly understand.
You've got to be careful about advocating.
Okay, I certainly understand, and I concur. So, if she is informed that an appeal may be in order, then they come to her.
So, and we had discussed it once before. Now, I know no reason why we can't consider new evidence. A court can consider new evidence if it's appropriate. So
that's
let's do it that way. That way the record is absolutely clean.
That's perfectly fine.
My suggestion.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. Now, I also have to be fair to her before she puts in a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate the fact that she was extremely busy and this was an extraordinary circumstances, and I'm sure she is very busy, but I don't know if I guess I have to look at it, and I don't know if this is in precedence, but I mean in the sense of we, you know, have denied waivers for people because they were busy before, and yes, and I mean, but in the sense of,
I understand
that, you know, if there was a, well, I don't think we can make the analogy between this and, say, a flood that shut down the city for 2 weeks. I mean, this was...
But Robert, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Once again, we have to make decisions based on factual record and the facts that come before us. And the only way any new facts will come before us is either if this individual comes to us or perhaps submits a letter. So, again, be careful when you say... don't waste your time because I made up my mind. And I don't think we should do that either. I think we need to decide these issues.
They should make the cost-benefit analysis themselves
if
it's worth $25 to write the letter.
Right. So that's my suggestion. Let's wait until we have the factual record before us, and then discussions can be had. That would be the appropriate.
And in full disclosure, I have had no conversation or discussion at all with this individual at all. So I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that it would be entirely up to her to determine whether it's worthwhile or not. You know, so, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I apologize, but, you know, first time chair, sans glasses. I did skip agenda item number two, which is the discussion related to requiring the members of the pension task force.
I was hoping you did it on purpose.
We'll talk. So, it appears as if there is a question regarding whether or not they should file a statement of economic interest, pension task force. Discussion, questions, info, thoughts?
I wasn't real clear as to why we were being given this information, but I'm assuming that since this falls under finance and personnel, that you know, that they should complete a financial statement. I guess I just would do it on an assumption. I don't know that there's any reason why they should not complete a financial statement.
Well, I think what you have to do...
They have to have management.
You have to look at the ordinance that was provided
okay.
to you.
Right.
You have to decide whether or not the duties of these individuals on this pension review committee or task force, whether or not those duties are such that it's appropriate that they file a statement of economic interest so that we know whether or not they make decisions, whether or not those decisions in some manner can enhance their economic position. The mere fact that it's part of the Finance and Personnel Committee is not, I think, particularly material. Also, it's a task force, so it's not going to be it's not going to make any decisions, really. I mean, they're going to make suggestions or recommendations, and they're not going to survive in perpetuity. In fact, apparently there's a drop-dead date, very, very short order, June 30th.
Yeah.
So, you know, based upon all that, is it really worth it? You have to decide,
okay.
Is it really worth it?
I wasn't aware of the, that there's an ending date. And I guess I've known of task forces that go on forever and ever, so that's where I was coming from.
Okay, can I ask a question? I can see that this was introduced last year,
mm-hmm.
and it says passed. Is it, given the fact that they are, you know, they're done in 6 weeks, why is it even here now? And I mean,
I don't even know if they've ever met, like, the truth.
Well, yeah, and if they're not a decision-making body as it relates to pension investments, I personally don't understand the purpose of the whole task force.
I think they're supposed to come up with some genius plan to suddenly make this a funding bonanza.
Right.
They're
analyzing. Well, I think that's why you have a pension board.
Well, I mean, the task force, according to this resolution, is to analyze current funding and propose alternatives, I think.
Well, it says here to evaluate the full range of issues affecting retirement and pension programs.
Well,
but still, that's not, they would have no decision-making authority whatsoever.
No.
I mean, all of that is pension board or through...
Yes.
Contract negotiation and things along those lines.
The only thing one could say is they could narrow, you know, they could obviously narrow the recommendations they put in front of someone. But that's...
I would hazard a guess that they could put forth those recommendations, but it still would have to go before the pension board.
Oh, and they could still look at other alternatives, too.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. The only power they really have is in what alternatives they put in front. They have no decision-making.
In my estimation, I don't see any point.
I don't see
no, any. I'd be inclined to say no.
And
I couldn't figure out what the purpose of it was, quite frankly. The only thing I can think politically, you know, that somebody got a scare because, oh my God, what if we look stupid like the county did? And I think that was part of their part of their thought process in establishing this this task force.
Well, I mean, yes. Yes, this definitely smacks as well-intended blue ribbon commission.
I'm guessing several of the people on this committee are already filing that to say this. Alderman Murphy, Martin Morris,
Marie Conrad,
Mark Nicolini.
Marie Conrad's in our office for filing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I would probably have to have a motion on this.
Yes, I think a motion on this would be appropriate.
So moved. That the task force should not be required to file statements of economic interest.
And I, can we amend that to say because they have no decision-making authority?
No, I think just...
Based upon a review of the ordinance.
Okay. Review of the ordinance, right.
All right.
There's
second.
A friendly amendment.
Okay. There has been a motion and a second to recommend that the pension task force need not file a statement. Members need not file a statement of economic interest. Am I stating that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. And a...
Somebody in a green eye shade.
Yeah.
Woo.
Thank you.
All right.
Those garters on your side.
Would you like to provide a staff assistance report now relating to the office activities of the previous month?
All right, before sure.
I think I jumped the gun earlier, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We sent out letters as of March 27 to those employees, well, city employees or board members that have not yet complied with their statement of economic interest. That gave me a return of two individuals that one, can I mention names?
Yeah.
One is Mr. DeLim, that he refuses to file at this point. And I understand based on a conversation with Linda Elber in the past and also a discussion with Dwight, that he has been in the past consistently late as well.
Who is this person?
Who is it?
Mr. DeLind.
And what's his position?
The art board.
He is
The
art board. Yes,
yeah.
He's a member of the art board.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I do believe that I do have the statement of economic interest that he mailed, but it's considered not submitted because there's no
fee
charges or right. The other individual would be Mr. Dale Radke. He is a member of the safety commission, and his argument is that because the board hasn't met in quite some time, that he's not liable for that. But after checking the code and discussing it with him, there hasn't been a resignation letter submitted by him. So regardless of how long the board meets or not, he's still liable. So he requested that if the board would contact him, because he would like to talk to somebody personally. So I don't know if that would be me or one of the board members.
I suppose he's free to come and talk to us.
Yeah, if he has a question, we can let him know that yes, indeed. He still is required to file that and, you know, pay his fine.
Mm-hmm.
If he would like to put in a request for a waiver, he may do so.
Right.
And if he has any further questions, he may come to the next meeting.
Okay. And then there was one last item that I have here that the board requested for Alderman Nick Kovac to clarify part 5 of his statement. And I emailed him as of the next day of the meeting, but as of today, I have not received any response.
Really?
He was the one who had educational. I think it had something to do with his educational
loans
is what we wanted, clarification of who.
The creditor.
He said federal government was the
It was the creditor.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he would hop on that. That could be embarrassing. Yeah,
that's all I have.
I do have to say, I don't know if I wasn't sent a letter, but I never received any kind of letters.
For
my late filing. That I was one of those that failed to file or that, you know, I
well,
passed the 45 day.
When did you file? Outside the 10-day grace period?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I filed and I didn't, I mean, I did, but it wasn't considered filed until I paid my fine, which is today.
Oh, you're going to pay your fine today?
I did.
Yes.
I think that maybe the why I didn't send you the letter was
because of
the fact we had communication.
Yeah.
So, in effect, you were still in the process.
Okay.
How many letters were sent out, approximately?
Did I put this down? I want to say about between 15 and 20.
Okay.
Yeah, because there were at least 15 board members altogether, and then 5 or 7 were city employees.
Okay. So not an extremely large number. I mean,
the city treasurer's office isn't going to be going crazy over.
No.
Sure. Because I know, yeah. I was just a little concerned about that warrant issue, because I knew the warrant had got that, he would just be like, oh, yes!
It's like the guy who called me yesterday and said he got summons from the U.S. Marshal.
Ah,
don't open the door.
Yeah. Right. Rooster Cogburn. So, do we send Alderman
Kovac
another email?
I would.
Yeah, I think I would do.
Yeah.
Do we want to do it via email, or do we wish to send him a letter?
Well, the last was an email, is that correct? And he did respond
to
that. And maybe a letter on our official letterhead might be persuasive.
Right.
It's
a follow-up to our previous
email.
As a follow-up. We haven't received the information requested.
Yeah, I would send a letter.
Frankly, we were shocked, didn't we?
Actually, I think the man in position
shot the letter over to his office.
Yes, you certainly may.
Sure.
Via messenger. Via personal delivery. Via hand delivery.
And then this other gentleman, should we have any communication with him saying, come in and talk to us? Or
which one?
The one we were following up with him and sending him a letter that, yes, indeed, he must file.
Okay.
Should he have further, if he wishes to put forth a waiver, blah, blah, blah.
There were two. There was the guy who says, why should I file that the board didn't meet? But then there was the art guy.
DeLynn.
Are we sending both letters to them?
I think we have to, because they are both still delinquent.
Yes, they're still delinquent. But they have passed that 45 days or whatever it is that they get to go to the Cusco.
Yeah.
I was ready to be cuffed, I swear.
So
Let's send one on the letter, because taking them to municipal court, you may recall the last time we did it, judges were less than pleased with the whole operation. So if we could avoid that, I'd like to, but if we can't, we will.
I mean,
it's that simple. But you
may wish
to
send it certified is what I would recommend.
I'm sorry?
I would recommend sending it certified. I don't know if that's something that we normally do.
I've never heard of us doing it. So I don't know that we need to do that. I don't think it would be particularly factually indispensable to file an action in municipal court without having done that. I suppose we could do it. There's nothing to prevent us from doing it.
Whatever the past practice is.
But it reduces our recovery.
You're saying to
$5
send a letter for the
public
letter meeting certified? Or to send a letter? Because right now, according to the code, for those people that have not submitted their statements,
mm-hmm.
they go to, I do that affidavit.
Very affidavit, right.
No more letters, as far as I understand, at this point.
You know, probably, but that's a good point. Or probably the art guy probably, he deserves to get the rocket ride, because he's just obstinate. He's been obstinate every year. The other guy, he's not without some position.
Yeah.
I can see him saying, we've never met. I have no idea. So maybe we could, because I don't think we have to, start the action.
Maybe we can just clarify to him and say, the board discussed it. The failure of a board to meet is not determinant.
Right.
If you are still a member of the board, regardless of whether it meets or not, you have a filing requirement. And so at that point, we've clarified it. Now he's got his chance.
At that point, and if he wishes to have further discussion, he may appear at the next meeting.
I mean, he asked a reasonable question. If you ask it once, that's okay. If he asks us the same one next year, it's not quite so reasonable.
He will have had his answer.
Yeah, the DeLynn guy is just,
it's
just a character.
Okay.
I can appreciate his position. Where should I ask? Then don't serve him.
Yeah, right.
So for DeLynn,
the affidavit.
We'll refer to as the rocket ride now.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, you get the full rocket.
It's going to get the rocket ride.
Any additional activities?
No.
And you got the letters that need to be sent. Stop. For the two individuals?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, number seven. Newly filed statement of economic interest forms for clarity and completeness. And that would be...
There should be two. Yeah, there's one she had.
Yeah, Coleman and Mitchell?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think they look okay.
Coleman?
Coleman.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, anybody have any questions?
I think Mitchell should get an award for neatness.
Yeah.
Oh, but she had one typo.
Did she?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you have an eagle eye.
Where did I see it? Because I saw it and I sort of smiled to myself. It was a double eye, wherever it was.
Now we're all looking for it.
Uh-oh. Exactly.
Other than the typo, they can be placed on file because of completeness.
Now I can't find it, yeah. And here was the other one. Oh, it's in education, Cardinal Stritch, Milwaukee Education.
Oh,
oh yeah.
There we go.
We were in education.
I'd call
it
that until I find it.
You're gonna call her, yeah. All right. Anything else?
Under investments, aren't Purnell Wealth Management and Columbia Investments like the managers? Shouldn't there be? I'm just not really familiar with those, but it seems like we're not getting. Each security or mutual fund sponsor.
Well, aren't all those mutual funds?
Purnell Wealth Management, though, that sounds to me like it's like hiring Baird Wealth Management, like there's some other assets.
Whom are we speaking with?
Jeanette Mitchell. Under part three.
We often have this issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what Columbia Investments or Purnell. I mean, I'm aware of TIA CREF, that's.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm. Just the name of it, Purnell Wealth Management, sounds to me like Jacobus Wealth Management. They're a wealth manager that you hire, but they actually have put you into some fund.
Right.
Purnell Wealth Management or Columbia sounds to me more like a Baird or Merrill Lynch or kind of like, but I don't know. I don't know enough to know the answer to that.
It's always dangerous.
I know, isn't it?
Well, what have we done in the past? I think
ignored it because we have to assume
we at some point we have to make an assumption we can't go doing exhaustive research on it.
Correct.
Right. Well, maybe for next year when we, I mean, do we say in the instructions at all? And I mean,
I think we've tried to revise that so many times that I'm not sure if we can make it.
Okay.
I'm not sure if we can make it better on it.
Well, and in the case of our other gentleman, he did list every stock.
He did.
Yeah, but he may own stock directly to
I think he owns
just or that may be just the list that he gets from his, like when Representative Sensenbrenner filed his, whatever they filed for House Representatives, he just Xeroxed his Baird statement. And so this may be just the list from his. So, yes. Mr.
Well, there
Brandon
is such a thing
as
Columbia Funds, according to my Columbia Management. Columbia Funds and Columbia Acorn Funds are distributed by Columbia Management Investment Distributors.
Acorn. Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I think Columbia Investments may be a mutual fund family of some.
probably is.
And what is the wish of the board?
They seem to be complete, we have to.
Comfortable with them.
Yeah.
Can you please jump up? Agenda item number eight.
Uh-oh.
The next meeting date. Please. The glasses, and you're really. You just tell us, they've generally been what?
We're scheduled for June 15th. No, it's every third Wednesday of the month.
Oh.
Is that it, when it is?
So June 15th is.
Generally, depending upon the calendar of the council.
How does the board feel about the 16th? June 16th.
That's a Thursday?
Mm-hmm. It's okay with me.
Fine with me.
Go with me.
Don't look at me, I work here.
Are you here? Are you on vacation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that will work for.
Okay.
Do you wanna change it to 16?
If we could.
Sure.
Otherwise, I think I have a staffing conflict.
God willing.
Yeah.
We won't have to meet next month.
Do you know further business before, please stand adjourned.
Excellent.